Hi, I'm W2P Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Nicholas Edwards. I play Jesus of Nazareth.
And...
Ari McKay Wilford. I play Judas.
Uh-huh. I see. We have a little clash going on already. And they, of course, are here in Jesus Christ Superstar, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's classic musical. It's at Signature Theater now through July 9th. So thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
I guess let's start. When did you actually see either the stage version or the movie version?
Ooh. I was introduced to it with... the movie version, but not like the original movie that everybody saw.
Not the
like
Norman Jewison.
No, not the Ted Neely. I saw the 2000, like the, I guess, recorded in like a sound studio movie with Glenn Carter. And that's how I was introduced to it. I loved it. I immediately was like, holy crap, this music is amazing, ridiculous, but amazing. Yeah. So that was my first introduction to it. And just when I got the offer for this, that's when I actually went back and listened to the Brown album that everybody kind of grew up listening to.
Right.
Which was even better than the movie, obviously.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about you, Judas?
I've never seen it on stage, but I did see the original movie long, long time ago when I was young, and I barely remembered it. We actually watched it
recently. Yeah, we did. Character study.
Exactly. as well as watching the Last Temptation
of
Christ.
There's a lot of other research on those characters, I find, in other texts.
Oh, absolutely. But I grew up listening to the music. I mean, like, I, you know, remember when I was, like, 16 and in my car trying to sing along with Heaven on Their Minds and listening to that original album. But yeah, I'd never seen a stage production of it, which I kind of think was nice when joining the cast and starting this process, because it didn't give me an idea of somebody else's performance.
Yeah, right. Definitely. You guys are here raving about the songs and the music. Do you have a favorite in the show?
Yes. I'd have to say...
How about one that you get to sing and then a favorite that you get to sit back and watch someone else sing?
Oh, I don't really sing too much in it, but I'm in it. The temple is like my favorite just because the rhythm is so interesting. Because it's like, and it's like that like cool rock. I don't know. I love it. And definitely Heaven on Their Minds. Like that is like signature song that I, even before I saw the movie, I think I heard it before, but I didn't know what it was from. I just remember the Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody's favorite song.
Is that you, sir? I know that's one you listen to in the car at 16.
So. Yeah, no, I know. It used to be one of my favorites.
Most of us had driving on our mind at 16. You had Heaven on your mind.
This is true. And driving, though.
That's true.
But I would say, actually, Heaven on Their Minds, I guess, is I've done it so much now that I'd probably have to say it's not my favorite song in the show, although I still love it.
Right.
I really like Damn for All Time, personally, for me. But then as a song that I get to watch, I'd say Gethsemane is pretty tight.
Really? Huh.
Jesus is surprised.
I am surprised.
Why are you surprised?
Because I don't know. I didn't think you would.
What's your problem?
I thought you would pick something else.
Okay.
Interesting.
I feel flattered.
Oh,
love you, boo.
See, we're bonding Judas and Jesus here. Sorry if that's blasphemous to anybody out there, but come on, man. This is what we're dealing with, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, there's so much love. There's so much love here.
But I mean, there's so many others. What's the Buzz and Everything's All Right. I Don't Know How to Love Him. I mean, it just goes on.
Oh, yeah. There's...
So I'm sure a lot of our listeners, everyone will have their own favorite, and that's the great point. But what is it about the music specifically? Because Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, I mean, they've done it so many times in so many different shows. Is the lyrics,
but this was the first
or
one.
The melodies,
so,
or this kicked it off?
Like, this kicked it off for sure, and there was nothing else like it at the time. I mean, it is one of the most iconic rock scores in musical theater history.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's unbelievable that that was their first collaboration, too. It's kind of like you're like...
Right out of the box.
Really? Yeah. And like, he's even said that if he tried to write it today, he couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, and it wouldn't probably have had the same response as it did back then. And the fact that like you listen to it today and it still sounds like it definitely has a... Like it's not super like contemporary, but it still feels like, oh, he could have written this like a year ago and it would still sound like as thrilling as it did back then. Yeah.
Do you think every other sort of, you want to say like rock musical that sort of followed is living in the shadows? I mean, would we ever have had Rent or Hedwig or any of those without this one?
No.
I think it definitely set the groundwork.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those shows are are very different in their own, you know, different writers. But it definitely laid the way for them to create those shows.
That's so
great. And the fact that it wasn't even supposed to be a show, and it's kind of thrilling to, like, see this, like, concept album.
Yeah, nobody was supposed to do this eight times a week.
Explain that, because we all know that, but explain how it kind of morphed into it.
Well, I think they, good thing I just watched some documentaries last night, so I'm all, like, schooled up.
Jesus does his research.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
They originally were, like, pitching it to producers, and everybody thought they were crazy. Like, no one's going to watch this. No one's going to want to see it, because it was controversial at the time. And then they were like, well, I guess we're just going to have to produce an album, because then people will at least listen to it.
Right.
And it became, like, this huge hit. People knew the music before they even got to the show, which was a big selling point.
And that's rare for a lot of shows. Usually you get the album after you've seen it and you
love
the show.
They released, like, the album after.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Hamilton now. Like, Hamilton, their album was so popular that people went to the show already knowing all the songs, so excited, like almost like a rock concert.
Well, because we can afford, you know, $15 for a CD, but we can't $4,000 to see Hamilton. So that's how that one worked.
No.
American Idiot was like that too, though, because they had their concept album,
like
and then they did the show around, you know, around
and
that
when
album.
You see it, it's so like thrilling to see like the music that you know, but haven't necessarily.
You've only envisioned it in your mind.
Yeah.
You haven't thought of it as a fully fledged stage production.
But it's also the story of Jesus Christ. It's like,
the greatest story ever told.
They call it the greatest story ever told because it really is. I mean, everybody knows the story. I mean, it's everywhere, the imagery and everything. But go into the story then, I guess. I mean, obviously, everyone listening to this knows the story, but in terms of how it's laid out in the in this show, if anyone is under a rock or a rock that rolled out of the way, under, I don't know, however, whatever that analogy is, explain sort of how it's laid out in the show.
Well, I guess it's...
it's the last week of his life.
Yes.
Right. You're Jesus, so you...
So our director, like, he really... It's interesting. Because he didn't really want us to portray these biblical characters. Because it's modern day. Like, we're trying to do a modern retelling of the story. Sure. So a lot of it is just bringing ourselves on stage, but, of course, infusing those elements of the characters we're playing, bringing ourselves into it. But I would say the story of last week of his life, you enter our space. I don't want to give, like, the whole concept and everything away.
Sure,
but you enter this... space that's sort of timeless to say. It could be, you know, a church. It could be just a normal place of worship or whatever you want it to be. And you see these groups who are struggling to come together, just kind of like how religion is today. We still have a lot of like controversy with that. And through the story of Jesus Christ, in comes me, Jesus, with a new idea that people become enamored with and attached to, and things happen. You see lots of things happen. You see
that'll be the headline.
Things happen in Jesus Christ Superstar. You see their struggle with faith, that they love this man, and I think that because what Tim Rice and Angela Weber really wanted to do was strip away any notion of magic, but really bring back down to
divine.
What if it was just him as like a person today, as a man? And I think like,
what if God was one of us?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like he was he's scared.
Right.
He's unsure of himself. There are points where he finally becomes like the leader that everyone
needs.
Don't
give too much away.
I think people.
I think we know
what's going on. Yeah, he becomes the person that everyone needs him to be. But then once there's a shadow of doubt within his followers, all hell breaks loose. Can I say that? Okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. Yeah.
Or heaven.
All heaven breaks loose. Yes. Yes. And it's tied together really nicely at the end. There's a good story. Nice.
How do you go about playing, let's go to Judas, how do you play someone that, you know, I guess you could say has been reviled over the years, but we've seen a lot of, you know, retellings, Last Temptation of Christ, there's been so many, you know, alternate takes on this story, so how do you get in that and find sort of, I guess, the man, how he's tempted into this, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring as much humanity to the character as possible, because he is kind of reviled throughout history as this, I mean, we say... you know, you Judas.
It's like Benedict Arnold.
It's a bad term to put on somebody, because we know that he betrayed Jesus and he's the cause for his death. But there is a lot of there's a lot of idea that what Judas did was not necessarily because he wanted to betray him, but because he was told to betray him.
Almost or destined in
destined
a way.
To do it.
Yeah, at the Last Supper, that's that you're going to betray
him. Yeah,
we
play around with that too, that like, what if, again, with stripping away all the divinity in this, what if it was really just, like, does he know that these things were happening?
But
was
also, I think Judas really loved Jesus. I think he really followed his teachings, and in our story, he sees Jesus getting away from his original teachings and going toward this more celebrity that he's kind of becoming, and he doesn't like that, and that's what kind of changes his mind. Because he sees that as a way for people to latch onto him for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And so I think Judas has good in his heart, but he's set on the wrong path.
And to fulfill a prophecy in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Was it worth the pieces of silver, sir?
I don't think so.
Come on. Come on, man. No, but it's true, and that's it's one of the real treats of just watching all these interpretations. That's probably like the most famous kiss of betrayal ever. I mean, that's Michael Fredo. Yeah. That's everything. You know, that's it right there.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, I guess let's kind of go. What do we see? What are we going to see visually? Because you said it could be a church.
Yes,
it could be whatever. So
it's very stripped away, but at the same time, there's like so much spectacle, and what is there?
Right.
The lighting is ridiculous.
It's divine.
Yes, it's divine. The lighting is divine. The set is gorgeous. It's like very seamless. It's so like sleek. Piece like you'll see.
White.
Yeah, it's white. You'll see the like the actors. Like for example, the Last Supper. The actors create the Last Supper using their bodies and pieces of the set that like move and come together and pull apart, and we do various iterations of forming those pieces together. Yeah, and we just use those pieces in so many different ways. Yeah, I think you're gonna see a very like things just change in this space so fluidly. It's very sleek, modern.
That's awesome.
It's simple, but
it's so effective.
Very effective.
And
yeah.
Costume wise, I mean, are you going for a modern look or how we?
It's modern, but still timeless. Like there are elements that that you could say resemble things from the past, but it's definitely updated.
Yeah, right. There's lots of projections too, which is cool. Okay. That help change maybe where we are in the space
and tell the story.
Yeah, and help tell the story and clear things up.
Just like in 33 AD.
Oh yeah, they had lots of projections.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I guess you say you're exploring faith and doubt and all that stuff throughout the show. If we have listeners that come, because we have all kinds of listeners that listen to our station, what's in this show, let's say, if why should they come if they are either a believer or maybe, you know, not a believer, but there's got to be stuff in the show for everybody.
Well, for a not believer, just come for the music. I mean, the rock music is intense. Yeah. And with our 7-piece orchestra, it's quite amazing
what they do. They sound incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a not believer and you struggle with finding faith, definitely come see it, because that's what the whole story is about. You see this group of people who, these three different groups who had their own faith get torn apart, then brought together, then someone plants a seed and it gets torn apart again, and then they realize what they've done, and then they sort of come together, and the whole show is just showing you what if you have too much faith,
right,
what could happen. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
We've had Book of Mormon lately, and there's obviously this. Why do you think religion is sort of a ripe, fertile ground for these stories? I mean, I guess there hasn't been that many of them, though, so I guess in a way not many people have ventured into that territory. But
well, it's also a controversial territory to enter, but it is so prevalent in today's society, and society going way far back in the past. So I think there's a lot of elements that you can take from each different religion's background to turn into something that can be used as art or storytelling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most poignant or favorite line in the show? Go.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
I have changed. Yeah,
ooh,
I have
like
changed
that.
Because multiple people say it. Natasha Diaz, who plays Mary Magdalene, she says in her song, she says, oh, what is in I Don't Know How to Love Him. I've been changed, yes, really changed. And then I say it in Gethsemane, which is interesting. Like, I have changed.
Yeah.
Because that's a point where he's like, where Jesus is like, I thought I was this person, but I'm changed. I'm not sure if this journey that you God want me to be on is something that I can actually fulfill. And for me, that's a very important moment. So I'm like, I have changed.
Right.
Huge shift into his coming demise.
Something I like. It.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that I find interesting hearing every night is not something I say. Pilate says, "We both have truths. Are mine the same as yours?"
Yeah.
Which...
That's Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just a very effective
line. Kind of gave me goosebumps here. Then, yeah.
The whole show is filled with great... I mean, it's hard to pick
one.
I mean, talk to me, Jesus Christ. How can I help you? Like, Pilate says that too, and it's like... A lot of the times, I think that a lot of the times the leaders, the priests, well, except Caiaphas... And like Pilate and Herod, they want to believe that because there's, you know, over 50,000 people believe, like, what if he is the Messiah? They want to believe, and they're asking him, like, Jesus, how can I help you?
Right.
You're going to die soon if you don't stop this.
Right.
And really, I'm scared if you die, what's going to happen?
And he fulfills it anyway.
And he does it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very powerful stuff.
Well, if that's not enough reason to come out, come on, guys. Thank you so much for coming in. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Again, yeah, guys, great. It's Jesus Christ Superstar at Signature Theater now through July 9th. Thank you so much.
Thank you.